The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to another fine weekend here in America's finest city. My name is Dan Osgood. We are the Portfolio Doctors. Between us, we have just a hair shy of 50 years of investment world experience. Yeah, I'm working on it, but I'm not in that big of a hurry. That's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to help educate you and help you understand and make the best financial decisions you can for your life, for your own situation, for what you want to accomplish in life, not what CNBC says you should do or what your neighbor is doing or what anyone else outside that might give you unwanted advice that might impact your decision making.
And I didn't do nearly as well in the 2000-2001 meltdown because of that one little comment that it was always in the back of my mind, don't fight the Fed, don't fight the Fed. And he was completely wrong because there's nothing the Fed can do. But I was, 15, 20 years younger, so I didn't really have the expertise I have now to stick to my guns and go, you don't know what you're talking about. Back then, this was really the first proper meltdown I'd ever really been through. I mean, I've been through 87 and 97, but those were sort of 1 month down and then we recovered, right? Mm-hmm. This was a proper meltdown.
Right. It turned into 3 years.
Yes. And so while I'd read it right, because of that one comment, I didn't do well enough or as well as I would have done had I not. If I just put myself in a box and kept my ears shut, I would have done a lot better.
It's just that one tiny piece of advice or information that just makes you second guess, which is just enough. And it's kind of scary because you're hearing a lot of that same talk now of just don't fight the Fed, don't fight the Fed. That's been what has been the mantra for the last
number of years.
Well,
and it's been right. And the thing is that's why the comment stuck with me because it has a lot of truth. Most of the time, the Federal Reserve can seem to manipulate the markets to a certain degree. But at some point when the markets get so pulled so far out of whack, I mean, back in 2000, you had companies that didn't even have revenues and were trading at the $4 billion market cap. It was just so ridiculous that you just knew that this couldn't last.
Right.
And regardless of what the Fed did, once it broke, it was like the damn walls opening. I mean, and you've got one Federal Reserve guy there with his finger in the dike watching the torrential waterfall just wash past him. So there was nothing they were going to be able to do. The market had to wash itself out. And so, yes, don't fight the Fed. Like right now, trying to pick a top, for example, I mean, everyone seems to be of the mindset that we're getting a little bit overextended, but trying to pick the top, it's like a freight train that just runs straight over the top of you. And I'm not saying that most people should do this. I'm a trader. So, you know, sometimes you get a bit ahead of yourself and you're trying to think, should I maybe look at shorting here? But 300 points later.
We talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
You could be dead right, but if you're right at the wrong time, and your timing just happens to be off. If you're trying to trade something and you've got the right view, but it just happens to be at the wrong time, that could work against you in a very, very big manner.
Yeah, I mean, and options trading is a classic example of that. And I don't know how many of our listeners even know what an option is, let alone trade them. But an option essentially is just you don't have to, but you have the right to be able to either buy or sell a certain position that someone else at a certain price. So you set that price, which is called the strike price. You pay the owner of that stock a premium for whatever that option is, for writing the option. And then you have the right either to buy if you're buying a call or sell if you're buying a put that stock at that strike price. Okay. But the thing with options is they have a time expiration.
Right.
So there's always a time limit, and that time runs out. And the amount of times that you've got it right, so you'll buy the call expecting the stock to go higher, or you'll buy the put expecting it to go lower, and you bang on, but your option expires and then it happens.
Right, one month short.
Yeah, or sometimes only a few days. But it doesn't really matter because your option's out of the money.
Right.
Out of time. Sorry, not out of the money, but out of time.
It expires worthless.
It expires with zero value.
And that's the reality of the option market. What is it, 90%+
something
of
like
the contracts
that
expire worthless.
But you've got you've limited your downside in the options market because the maximum you can lose is the price you've paid.
That premium, which is just a fraction of the cost of the actual stock price.
Yep. So if you play it right and you don't put all of your money into options and you just buy a few and need the rest of your money either in cash or money market or whatever, it gives you unlimited upside potential with very limited amount of risk. That's really the beauty to options. But I mean, we weren't planning on talking about options today, but if those of you who've listened to us for the last couple of years will know that we don't always stick to the plan, but it's always something about finance. And you need to be in this world, you need to be so well-rounded to be able to make credible and rational decisions. You can't just understand one microcosm of the market anymore, because that microcosm is impacted by everything else. You know, things that, for example, happen in the Far East or the East now will impact us here in the States. And that might have a run-on impact for the company that you're invested in, whether it's a small little fudge company in Hawaii or whether it's a massive conglomerate like Apple or Intel or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's, everything is so interrelated that unless you understand and you can put together all these different bits and pieces, you're not gonna win.
Right.
You know, we need to win.
Yes, and that's why we are here. And we want to hear from anyone listening who just heard Steve talking about options. If there's something you've been interested in options, or you have dabbled in them and don't understand and you want some clarity, we can answer those questions for you. We can hopefully give you clarity to just allow you to make the right decisions for what you're trying to accomplish. Because I've come across many people that are trading options in my career that didn't understand exactly what they were doing. And the theory of what they wanted to accomplish, options could accomplish that, but they weren't going about it the right way.
Right.
And so it is possible that you could be trading options and not fully understand how they're working, and there could be a way to correct that.
When I started trading options for the first time, you buy it and then you see it going down in price as the time expires, and then you try and fix that by buying other ones. And the next thing you've got such a spider web of options going on, you're not actually sure which price the stock's got to be at to make money, because you've got so many things going in so many different directions.
And there's nothing like the lotto where you can just take your ticket in and put it in a machine and it'll spit it out and
Ta-da,
congratulations, it worked.
Exactly. I used to have to create spreadsheets trying to calculate it. It was like, okay, if it can hit $18.65 or something weird like that, then you would win.
Then I'm going to break even.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, again, if you would like to speak with us, or if you have any questions, maybe a show topic you would like to hear us discuss, we are available. You can reach us, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can also reach out via telephone, 858-764-7250. Once again, 858-764-7250. Stick around. When we come back, we are going to debunk the myths surrounding home ownership.
Woo. Wow.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Download your free KCBQ smartphone app. Search KCBQ. Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors. I am Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today we thought we'd have a little bit of fun here and discuss something that probably turns out to be the largest single investment in most people's lives.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
It is. And mainly because, you know, it's sort of a forced investment savings per se. Mm-hmm. Although, and you know, just to clarify, of course, we're talking about housing. But I mean, the reason that today, though, there's a lot of people buying, and they're buying like interest only type loans.
Right.
So that suddenly doesn't turn into maybe your biggest investment because you're not paying down any of the debt.
Right.
Whereas in the past, you know, in the good old days, you could only get a principal and interest loan. You know, they didn't have all these weird and wonderful things. So in the past, you were forced, every payment you made, the principal balance was going down.
Right.
So by the end of the rainbow in 15, 20 years' time, it's your biggest investment by far, because not only has the property appreciated, but you've also paid off this massive debt obligation.
Yes. And that's kind of the centerpiece of what we're going to talk about here. One of the biggest, I guess, myths out there that I'm aware of is you have to buy a house versus, oh, renting's throwing money down the toilet. And the main thing you always hear is, well, just because of the tax deduction you get, you have to have that. And the reality is there is a lot of value to the tax deduction you get. And it's essentially the first three payments of the year are essentially free based on the tax savings.
Can you answer me this? Because there's always a discussion at Congress whenever there's this, like we've had a $1.5 trillion deficit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's down to like, what's it, $500 or $600 billion a year. That's what we're spending as the government of the U.S. is spending in excess of what they bring in tax dollars, okay? And whenever that happens, there's always massive talk about the whole tax benefit for the housing market, for buying a house, to be taken away.
Right.
Why? What is the idea behind the tax benefit?
Just to encourage home ownership,
but
I believe that's why it was put in place.
No, I understand what they're trying to do, but seriously, why? Because if you think about it, when you're talking taxes, right, and I did a study when I was doing economics about this, and believe you me, there is no such thing as an equitable tax, because you're always hitting one group harder than another,
right?
And so the property tax, the benefit you get from home ownership, is skewed to the higher income people.
Right.
Because you think about it, the really low income people who cannot afford a house do not get that benefit of the home ownership. So there's a
they
tax.
They do, but it's such a small because they're probably in a lower
well,
tax not, bracket.
Exactly. So once again, it's a tax skewed for to the wealthy. Mm-hmm. So I must admit, that's one of the tax laws that I've really never worked out what the reason behind that was, other than, hey, we want a tax break of some form. And as you say, yes, it's the American dream. You know, there's always this talk about the American dream, own a home, own a home, own a home. But this tax benefit thing, it could be removed, right?
It could. I would be shocked if they ever did that, because the reality is the people that are voting on those types of changes are the people that are benefiting the most from the way the laws are. And that's why you see things like the estate tax limits being increased when people were saying, oh, it's going to go away. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, guess what? It's now over $5 million per person. Who benefits most from that but these senators and congressmen?
No, I agree. I don't expect it to be taken away, but I have to wonder what the mindset is, other than, yay, we want to reward ourselves. But if you want to balance a budget, because what do they say? That the tax benefit of owning a house equals roughly your first three mortgage payments of the year, right? So let's say your mortgage payment's $4,000 a year. So that just saved you $12,000 in tax.
$4,000 a month.
Yeah, $4,000 a month. Sorry, yes, I said a year. So your payment is $4,000 a month. So you've saved yourself $12,000 in tax. So $12,000 times how many homeowners are there in the country?
No idea.
Okay, let's just assume 100 million.
Okay.
100 million houses. And you've saved, call it 10,000, right? There's $1 billion in tax, is it? Yeah. No. Is it a trillion? What's 100 million times 10,000? No, I think it is a trillion, actually. There you've balanced the budget, right?
Yes. So they could just
I would vote me for president, other than I'm not allowed to.
Just do it for one year.
Yeah,
just,
one
just
year.
Eliminate the tax deduction for 1 year, and we've got the budget balanced. You're gonna run on that platform?
Well, first problem I have is I'm not an American. I'm not a born American.
Well, there's a lot of people that question whether our current president is.
But so the point I'm trying to make is there's this massive benefit that's it's a loophole. I'm not saying that it should or shouldn't be taken away, but I'm just always wondering why. But that is one of the reasons that you own a home, right? Because you want to save some taxes. But outside of that, you're still going to have to pay. So, yeah, you get to 3 months of benefit on taxes, but then you've still got 9 months of payments. So those other 9 months need to at least be equivalent or somewhere in the area of what you would normally rent for.
Correct.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we were bringing up some of these points is the rents have been going up, and it's kind of a unique time. Home values are still very high, but the cost of renting is pretty significant right now.
Well, you know why, right? Because everyone had a house that wasn't supposed to have a house, and then they all got booted out during the short sale market, and they all had to go and rent. So suddenly you had this flood of renters, and it just pushed the property market, the rental market, through the roof.
Right, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down now. There will be a breaking point where people just can't afford it any longer because...
Well, then they buy houses, right?
Right. Then it switches back. So it's kind of a vicious cycle that we seem to be in the middle of a difficult time.
But that said, it depends, obviously. The thing with housing is it's so geographical.
Right.
Because while that equation here in San Diego might not be exactly right, I mean, we've done some numbers on this. And if you're renting, what, like $2,000 a month, your rent, $2,200? I mean, it's equivalent to roughly a $400,000 home value.
Right.
Yeah?
There's an example. It's about a $400,000 home, and your rent would be about $2,000, a little over $2,000 a month.
And that would equal buying that house?
Factoring in removing those first 3 months, the cost would be broken down to about $1,400 per month, approximately. And that's assuming a rate of just over 4%.
Yeah. So at that point, it's probably better to buy the place rather than rent it.
Right. It's pretty skewed. I think you can probably make a pretty strong case right now that because rents are so high, if you can get into a house, it probably makes more sense at this exact point in time. And we talked about this last week. You can only make the best decision with the information you have at the time.
Right.
So if you're going to look at it right now and you look at the cost of renting versus the cost of owning, because interest rates are still so low, even though home values are pretty high, interest rates are so low, you can possibly and probably get into a house at a lower monthly amount than renting.
Yeah.
Which that's part of some of the myths we're going to continue debunking here, in that there's a lot of costs that people don't discuss when it comes to owning. They just look at the payment straight across, yep. Say, okay, I pay $2,000 for this house, but the rent's $3,000. So it doesn't make sense. I have to go buy. But what about the maintenance of the house?
Right.
There's cost to that, whether you do it yourself or you pay someone to come do the yard. There's always upkeep of some variety.
Yep. Yeah, the toilet goes, or the hot water cylinder goes, or the, you know, you get a window smashed, or the fan breaks. I remember breaking the fan playing the Wii with my son, because I'm relatively tall, and one of the things you had to do was hit like an overhead smash. We were playing a tennis game, and as I hit my overhead smash, my Wii took out the light above my head.
Oops.
Yeah. So there was a $100 repair.
Right.
You know?
And a bigger one, especially here in California, is the property taxes.
Well, yeah, but property taxes, 1.25, yeah.
Typically, those aren't factored into just your normal payment. In many cases, you can get the escrow account where each month a portion of your payment goes towards the property taxes.
Yeah.
But in the cases that you're not doing that, that's not factored in. And if it's an expensive house, you're looking at $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 extra per month, per year.
Yeah.
So it all adds up to where it's not quite as black and white as, well, gee, the mortgage payment is $2,000 and the rent's $3,000, so it's much better to
Got homeowners association dues and various other
right.
bits and pieces.
And that's a very common thing in California, the HOAs.
And Mellow Roofs.
Or Mellow Roofs. Yeah. There's community facilities district taxes, which are essentially the same as a Mellow Roofs tax that people don't notice. And a lot of times that's a few $100 a month.
Yeah, because if you're renting, then you don't have to pay all of that stuff.
Correct.
You know, you don't have to pay the taxes or the Mellow Roofs or the HOA or anything, but you get the use of all of those facilities.
Right. There are other expenses like electric bills, typically cable, phones, things like that, that you would have to pay in both situations.
Right.
So those are typically a wash.
Yeah. And those are... The other thing that's interesting on the rent versus the home ownership is the ability to move. I mean, you can leave your house and either sell it or rent it, but you typically, when you've owned a house for a long time, you don't necessarily want to rent,
right?
Because the renters will come and mess it up for you.
You feel an attachment to that house,
yeah.
And you don't want someone to come beat
so
it up after a
year. So then you try to sell it, and you know, it might be hard to sell at the price you want. Whereas if you're renting, you just give the landlord your month's notice and off you go.
Right.
You know, so, and sometimes that can be beneficial and sometimes it's not. So I think the other side, when you're looking to buy, really what it comes down to is how long do you plan on staying there? You know, because right. A lot of what we've just talked about, these costs and things, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth when we come back after the break, but a lot of this gets pushed aside when you look at the time horizon is a key. That's why I talked about options earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost this equivalent where if your option expires worthless because you ran out of time, that's one thing. And it's the same with your house. You know, if you've got enough time, then it's definitely worth buying. If you're just going to try and live there for 3 months, then it's,
no
point in buying.
Definitely. And you do see cases where people do that, but it doesn't typically make a lot of financial sense unless you have so much discretionary income it really doesn't matter to you. But I'm
like you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay.
And on that bombshell.
Yeah. Well, stick around. When we come back, we'll continue debunking the myths around home ownership and the differences between renting versus owning.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
And online at kcbq.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, He will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And today, we're having a little bit of fun tackling a topic that you hear talk about, but no one typically goes into huge detail about why. You always just hear straightforward owning a home versus renting. Well, gee, you're the tax deduction. You have to own just for the tax deduction. And we've kind of broken that down a little bit already and shown where it may not always be that simple.
Right.
And one of the other things we want to...
Well, I think that it's not that simple for this. You know, the main reason, the first thing really what we're alerting people to is, let's assume you're paying $2,000 a month in rent, okay? And you go over to your realtor or your mortgage broker or whatever, and you say, okay, if I'm paying $2,000 a month in rent, what can I afford in a mortgage? What they're going to do is they're going to take that and they're going to plug it in and get whatever your interest rate potentially is. And that's going to be what you'll pay in principal and interest. So they'll get equivalent, they'll say, oh, you can qualify for $600,000 mortgage, okay? And you go, man, okay, I've got $100,000+ to put down. So I can buy an $850,000 house and I'm good to go, right? And you go and you put in, buy that and then you look around $850,000 and you go, wow, I can actually get, well, a cardboard box in this town. But most of the time, you can get a lot of house for right. that, right? So you go and you buy the house thinking in the back of your mind, I'm still fine because it's going to cost me $2,000 a month, just like I was renting. And then suddenly, after 3 months, the tax bill shows up and you're like, what's that? And then each month you're starting to pay these homeowners association dues. Mm-hmm. And then because your house is way bigger than what you had before, your electric bill is way higher, your water bill's way higher. You know, you as a family now what like the house. So next thing you're down at Home Depot buying paint and, you know, you're cutesing up the yard and suddenly all this money's flowing out to Home Depot to fix up your little house. And the next thing you know, where you thought it was all going to be the same, you suddenly find out you can't even cover the bills.
Right.
And that's really a wake-up call to people. That's why, in all honesty, you need to run through all of these things because a bigger house comes with bigger payments in everything, in all over the board, you know? Suddenly you've got you know, four bedrooms. You used to only have two. So now you've got to kit out those other two bedrooms. You don't just want to have them vacant,
right.
You know, or you want to turn one into a study or something like that. Now you got to fix that up. Or, you know, maybe you've got a TV room and you've got your little man cave, and now your man cave needs another TV because you only had one. I mean, all of these things that people just don't think about. It's like right. All they look at when they start is just that payment.
Right.
And it's not as simple as that. If you have that payment at around about, based on our example, to start off with 60 to 75% of what your rental payment is, you're probably going to be almost okay.
Right.
But if you just try and look at just that payment, you're going to be in trouble. And right. It happens all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. You regularly see banks, you're pre-approved for $600,000 home.
Yep.
Great. That means that's the upper range of what you can afford. And what happens in most cases, once a realtor finds out you qualify for $600,000, the first home they show you is $650,000.
No. Have you watched those shows on TV?
Yes. I
watch them. It's like, do they ever show the people what they could afford?
No.
They're always trying to push them up an extra $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it's hard to go back down once you've seen a house that you could buy for $850,000 and then they show you one that's $1,000,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll come back and go, well, it's only going to cost you an extra $250 a month in payment.
Right.
And you go, well, I think I can maybe squeeze that because you get so much more for your value. And
right.
Now, of course, you're starry-eyed because you've seen, wow, I can get like a six-bedroom with a jacuzzi en suite and da-da-da-da-da, you know?
Right.
You've got to wake yourself up. You've got
Absolutely.
To basically take yourself and smack your head around a little bit and say, wake up, you know?
Right.
I'm not part of the rich and famous sector.
Absolutely. Just because you qualify for something doesn't mean you can afford it.
All right.
And that needs to be understood first and foremost. And that's what we're really getting at here.
Correct.
There are a lot of additional costs that go along with home ownership versus renting.
And then the other myth, of course, that we're debunking is when you get in at that point, then one of the things that you're going to say is, well, but houses always go up in value. And of course, that's been disproved.
Mm-hmm.
08, right? Oh,
but that goes into just like the stock market. Typically, over time, the stock market goes up.
Correct.
But there are periods of time, and they can be extended periods of time, where it isn't going up. The same thing happens in the real estate market, where we saw that come crashing down 07, 08, 09.
Let me tell you, you buy your house today, you close, the price changes 2 minutes after you've closed,
mm-hmm.
either up or down. Why? Because I'll bet you'll be hard-pressed to find someone who will pay you the exact same amount for the house you just paid. Because
right.
when you buy it, you see you like this or you like that. Other people suddenly don't like it, or someone likes it more mm-hmm. or less. So instantly, the house value is changing every single day, just like the stock market. The
right.
only difference is you don't see it printed on a screen in front of you and flashed in your face on CNBC. Could you imagine? They go, oh, well, Mr. Jones's house has just changed by 4 points today.
Right.
I mean, seriously, but that's exactly what's happening to your house value, right? The only time you really know about it is when you have macro swings that drive property prices across a broader
right.
range.
The whole area, whether it's a state, a city, whatever.
Correct. Then you get an understanding of what's moving at your housing markets. Now, things have changed significantly with the impact of Zillow and Trulia and these websites where you can type in and they can give you some kind of an estimate. But, you know.
Even those, they're trying to be more accurate, but they're still
pretty
flawed.
Yeah, no, of course they are. That's not what your house is worth. Mm. I mean, it's probably within a range of 10% either way, but it's not exactly. You know, it's a firm, it's a place where we're willing buyer, willing seller.
Right.
So if you are willing seller and someone's a willing buyer, whatever the two of you negotiate, that's the value of your house.
Right.
It's not what an appraiser told you the value is.
Correct.
You know, the appraiser's just there to give you some kind of an idea. But so back to that, if you, you know, a lot of people buy the house firstly because they think they can stretch a little bit more. And secondly, because they're expecting this house to go up in price.
Right.
Now, if you're buying a house with the understanding of, well, if I stretch myself a little and I buy the $1 million house instead of the $600,000 house, I think if I max out my savings and stuff and I really, you know, curtail spending and we all eat beans for the next 2 years, if I buy the $1 million house, it should appreciate probably 10%. I'm going to make $100,000. Instead of on the $600,000, it'll only appreciate 5% or 6%. I'm only going to make $50,000 to $60,000. And with that extra $100,000 I make, I'll sell the house and I'll buy back down and I'll owe a lot less. I've heard people do this, and boy, it's like trading on margin in the stock market, you know? You just aren't going to get there.
Right. And it's like you said, once you've had a taste of that bigger house,
yeah,
it's going to be a challenge to step back down. It's a nice theory, but the reality is, and this is something that gets confused all the time, is a percentage move is a percentage move, whether it's a, I understand it's a bigger amount if you've invested more, but what could you have done with that excess money over the $600,000 home to the $1 million home, that extra $400,000 or that extra payment? You could have taken that extra money and invested it in something else.
Like a holiday.
Correct.
You know, and while people say, I mean, this is a finance show and we're trying to make you money, but I mean, when you die, you can't take your money with you.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, while we talk finance all the time, it's got to get ahead, got to get ahead, got to get ahead, and eventually you die of a heart attack. You've sometimes got to take a step back and enjoy your existence to some degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to try and make you as much as we can, but there's also got to be a safety valve.
Well, a big part of what we're trying to accomplish is help you understand if you make the right decisions, there should and will be additional time and money to do the things you want to do to actually enjoy this life and get the most value out of your life that you can.
Correct. And one thing that really can stress not only the marriage but everything is suddenly you buy this massive house or this thing that stretched you to the max, and now you're basically just tied by a chain to this alligator, they call it, because it's just sucking every last penny out of your wallet, and that doesn't feel good at all.
No, that's, I joke with people all the time, if you buy this enormous house that is questionable whether you can afford it, you better really, really like it, because more than likely that's all you're ever going to get to see is the inside of that house,
because
you're not going to be able to afford to go anywhere else and do anything else.
Exactly, and that's your vacation there every day that you go home.
Which, depending, I mean, we saw a town in Wyoming was for sale for $1.5 million. So,
the whole town.
Yeah, so if that's your investment, you could potentially have a different view every day.
How many people lived in this town? None?
I think there were 8 buildings.
And was anyone living in the others?
I do not recall. I just saw some small town in Wyoming.
Well, that's
for $1.5 million.
I mean, that's the thing. So you've also, I mean, I think you bring up a good point, Dan. Yes, you're going to go and buy this house, right? And you're going to put down, you know, your $100,000, $200,000 to buy it. What else could you do with that money?
Right.
You know, is it worth spending that, or is it worth investing it somewhere else? You know, like you said, you buy your Wyoming town. No, I wouldn't do that. But, I mean, there are places around the country where, seriously, with a $200,000, you could buy 5 houses. Mm-hmm. And you could have rental income of every single one of them, because you've got all of them free and clear.
Right.
So suddenly you've got, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 of rental income. So now you've got rental income of $4,000. You're paying rent of $2,000. You net ahead $2,000 a month. Your life's looking pretty sweet.
Right. You've got other people paying.
Yeah.
The other houses are paid free and clear.
Yeah. You're not living there, but they are paying your rent in San Diego for you.
Right.
And you've got an appreciating asset over there. Now, is that better than buying your $800,000 house and being tied with a chain to it? I mean, personally, I like Model 2 better, where invest in all these other houses, have them pay you. How stress-free are you now? If you lose your job tomorrow, your rent's still covered and you got a little bit of money to pay some groceries and stuff, versus the other way, you lose your job tomorrow. Not only are you going to lose you're going to lose your house.
Right.
And then you're going to lose your $200,000 you put down. The other way around, you're much more bulletproof.
Correct.
So that's, to me, a better way, but that's just me as an investor.
That term we talk about all the time, anti-fragile.
Yeah. And that's
what you're
looking
for. If times
get tough,
you're getting stronger because of those types of things. Well, stick around.
I'll be more fired up when we come back.
Yes. he's hitting the punching bag over in the corner, firing up for the last segment here. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. You can reach us, Dan at theportfoliodoctors.com or Steve at theportfoliodoctors.com. We'll be right back.
keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. It is the Portfolio Doctors. I'm Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we're going to finish up here with debunking the myths of home ownership. One of the biggest things we haven't really talked about just yet, and it is a big advantage to owning versus renting, is the fact that once you get that mortgage, as long as you don't get one of these fancy bells and whistles, if you get your standard 15, 20, 30-year mortgage where you're paying principal interest, your payment's the same. It doesn't vary.
Stuck.
So you know what your payment is on day one. You know it's never going to vary until this loan is paid off.
And inflation is your big friend.
Correct. And that there's a lot of peace of mind that goes along with that. Where rent, yes, you might save money today.
Yep.
But they have the possibility of raising your rent every single year. In reality, they probably don't do it that often.
Yep.
Although if rents are increasing, you're going to see them move, so you never know when you're going to have to start looking again because you no longer can afford that rental payment because it's changing.
Well, the other thing that inflation does, yes, you're right, Dan. The other thing inflation does, though, is typically not only does it keep your payment the same, but with inflation means that assets increase in value. Mm-hmm. So your house value is going to go up, right?
Right.
So that's a major benefit. Of course, the cost to keep your house up is going to go up too.
Correct.
Okay, so that's a detractor. But your rent is going to go up. Okay, so that's a bad one if you're renting.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you've got a major part of your payment, just the principal and interest payment, set. So as the value of your house goes up, you're not paying more. You're stuck. And that's where inflation helps, because not only is the value of your house going up, in most times, your paycheck's getting higher.
Right.
Because they want to, normally they'll give you a percent or at least 3 or 5% raise each year just to keep up with inflation. So the payment becomes easier and easier and easier to take care of. And so in 10, 15 years time, when your paycheck is 60% higher than what it is today, suddenly that mortgage payment it's nothing.
Right.
And so that's really a major benefit, which is why when we even started this discussion back in the second segment, I said it comes down like an option to how much time
Right.
And if you're planning on getting in this house and leaving in a year, don't buy, for goodness sake. If you're going to live there, if you plan on living there and watching, raising your grandkids there, you know, after you've had your kids that are still to be born, then without a doubt, buy, you know.
And that was part of the problems just a couple of years ago. There were a lot of people that had a real short window because real estate's appreciating so fast. I'll just go buy this place. I'll sell it next year.
Yeah.
And live in it during that time, and I'll make 20 or 30%, and everything will be great.
The hot coal syndrome.
Yes, and that works great right up until it doesn't.
Yeah.
And we saw how that ended, or we still haven't seen how it completely ended.
It's great with when everything's going around in a circle. Mm-hmm. It's like you've got a hot coal, and you're passing it around in a circle to everyone. And then the time when you grab it and you're going to throw it on, and you look to your right or your left, and that person's walked off. And you hold it for that extra 3 seconds and you start burning your hand. Yep. That's the hot coal syndrome. And that's what happened when people are trying to just buy and flip.
Right.
Unless you're professional and doing this for a living, as just a normal homeowner. And that's why I say, if you're buying that $1 million house in the hopes that you're going to sell it in a year or two when your savings is maxed out for a profit.
Right.
I wouldn't do that.
Right. Instead of that 10% gain, what if you got a 10% loss?
Yep. Not only have you lost the house and your savings, but you've lost your down payment.
The big down payment.
Correct. So now you're literally wiped out. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called the alligator. You know, seriously. That house example is the alligator. Mm-hmm. The other two house examples we've given you, which is you're only paying a mortgage of 60 to 75% of what you're paying in rent. Now you're living within your means. So the extra payments of fixing your house up and that aren't really a problem. You're good to go. And to me, the best option is you buy a smattering of these houses around the place. The rental income grows to a point where when you go and buy a house that you really want to live in, that whole mortgage is covered by other people.
Right. Without any reliance on your savings, your income,
your combined income,
any of that.
Yep. That is what... If you really want to get rich and you really want to have stability, that is the way you've got to go.
Right.
You know,
unless all those houses burn down and you don't have an insurance and they never get rebuilt, that is income that will never go away.
No, it's going to actually get higher because the rental market should get stronger.
Correct. The inflation, again, is working for you because you're able to increase those rents.
Correct. So, I mean, to me, I think the American dream should be that, you know,
own as many properties as possible and have other people paying for them.
Have the American dream should really be, I want to buy a house and have someone else pay it for it for me. And I've just told you how to do that.
Right.
So to me, that's a much better dream than I've got to have this house because Bob next door and Jennifer, they moved and look at their fancy house. They just had us over for dinner and they paraded us around the place and made us feel insignificant. Well, that's just their ego. Right. Don't get sucked into their ego. You know, you don't know what's going on once the door closes and they're stressed to the max because they can barely make a mortgage payment.
Right. I know of many of those situations where people are living in a house and putting on this fake facade of, look at us, we live here.
Yeah.
And the reality is they don't have a penny to their name beyond that house.
Right. I mean, and you can tell right away. I mean, when you go to someone's house and they really don't care, come in, help yourself to beer or whatever, and they sit down and they relax. You know, it's like, okay, this guy doesn't have a problem with his house payment.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, I think that inflation is the main reason that you look at a house. Inflation with time.
Right.
I would give yourself, the average house sells in 12 years. So you've got to give yourself at least 5 to 7 years of living in that house. Mm-hmm. And once again,
potentially even longer.
I was going to say, the longer the better. I'd say that's the shortest, because if you look back you bought a house in 2000, 2007, it probably just lost all of its value, 2007 and 8. You know, at one point you're sitting pretty thinking you were king of the hill, and 6 months later you had nothing.
Right.
Because you had refinanced and pulled all the money out.
Well, if you're listening and you've been considering buying a house, renting a house.
And we are not brokers or agents.
We're not. We have nothing to gain from this. We just want to be of help. That's why we do this show. We're not trying to get your business. We want to just give as good advice as we can and help educate you to make the best decisions for yourself. We've seen too many people fall on hard times, and we just don't want that to happen. You have been listening to The Portfolio Doctors. The best way to reach us, you can call directly 858-764-7250, or you can email steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. We are also available on iTunes. You can download our podcasts of past shows. We look forward to hearing from you. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.